BlackRoseBooks.ca or visit BlackRoseBooks.com for more information.
This event is co-presented with the Cité des Hospitaliers en Transition and CKUT-FM.
What's up, what's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial. Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we are continuing our celebration of Black Mothers. And we can say happy belated Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, and happy early Mother's Day, because in the Haitian community, we celebrate the last Sunday of the month as Mother's Day. We have another mother with us tonight, and she is a Haitiano-Québécoise mother, grandmother, militante afro-féministe, human rights advocate, diseuse, and animatrice. In May 2016, she co-founded the Lectures Logos readings with H. Nigel Thomas and the late, great Horace I. Goddard. Over the past 20 years, she has become a staple in the community, and she now revels in her new status as a beloved leader. Please, thank you so much, Maggie Metellus, for being here. You've been involved in my life since before I was born, so, you know, you're like another honorary mother to me.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this. You know, this is new. Even though this is the second edition, this is new for Soul P. We wanted to honor Black mothers because felt it was important. You know, and what better month than the month of May, in which especially our community has two Mother's Days. So, yeah. So how have you been during these very unusual times?
We've been doing our very best. Hello, hello, everybody. Hello to all your auditeurs, auditrices.
Yeah.
How do you say that in English?
Listeners.
Listeners. Hello, Maggie. You Okay, yes. So greetings to all. And yes, I join Kim in wishing everybody a belated happy Mother's Day, with special thoughts to, the list would be very long. Maybe we can come back to that.
Yeah.
Because there are mothers who are not celebrating.
Right.
Who are not celebrated. And we'll come back to it if it's okay. Thank you so much for this invitation, Kim. I'm really honored and humbled to be in this conversation with you, and a bit nervous, I must say. Like I told you, it's very emotional.
Okay.
You have some very not daunting questions, but you go deep, right? As you usually do.
Well, the thing is, since the advent of the pandemic, we had to change the show a bit, because before it used to be, 15-minute spots here and there, and since the pandemic, we've been just doing interviewing single individuals. Maybe there might be a few collectives, groups of people, but for the most part, it's individuals. And I feel like we shouldn't shy away from topics that are considered difficult, or because I feel like our community shies away from that too much, you know. And if it's challenging, we can always move on to the next thing. But I feel like it's important for us to start facing what it is that causes that, as the hot word of the last few years has been, that triggers us. You know, and talk about traumatic events and stuff like that, because if we do, how are we going to move forward as a community? You know, and I feel like, you know, I myself have gone through a lot. Exactly. I speak a lot about having lost my father on the air, you know, the impact it has had on my life. And, you know, on my social media, I speak a lot about the fact that I don't have one mother. I have two mothers.
Exactly.
And so I want to bring that same vulnerability, honesty, and dare I say clarity to the radio, whereby people can have that experience of having that genuine interaction, at least with whoever is listening out there.
Right. So congratulations on that work that you're doing consistently. Please remind me, how old is Soul Perspective?
Soul Perspectives is actually 28 years old. So it's been on since 1994.
Wow.
So we're turning 30 in
two years.
And I've been on since 2012. So we just celebrated the 10-year anniversary in April.
Clap, clap, clap. Bravo.
Thank you.
Big bravo.
Which continues to blow my mind. Because I'm like, it all got started back in 1991 when I visited Haiti for the first time. And I was in my grandfather's radio station. Like, the seed was planted. And look at me now. All I need to do is own a radio station, and it would have come full circle.
Full circle. You never know.
You never know.
There's still time. Still time.
But today we are here to talk about you.
Yes, dear.
So it's been a while, and I know your family. So I know that during the pandemic there were some downs, but there were some ups as well. There were some blessings as well. How has it been for you during this time?
It's been trying, but I would say for everybody, but a bit less than most, I think. Mm-hmm. We've been blessed, as you said, so we welcomed a new baby, my daughter Ariane's fifth child. We had the opportunity to have family gatherings outside. So the biggest shock is that we cannot gather the whole lot of us at my parents.
Right.
That's what hit us the hardest.
Yeah.
So lockdown began March 2020. So, Easter 2020, no gathering.
Right.
And we've been gathering for decades. See, everybody, their kids, now their grandkids.
Yeah.
So that was the first, oh my goodness, how are we going to do that?
Yeah.
Not being able to hug and everything, you know, everything that everybody goes through.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, like everybody else, we learned to adjust.
Yeah.
So we took to Zoom for a big celebration and discovered also, well, you know, the blessing of Zoom, that we can be with the Germany and Vegas and New York and Brooklyn and whatnot, all on the same platform.
Yeah.
And we just learned to deal with it and take it one day, one moment, one step at a time.
Yes. Yes.
It's like
a blessing and a curse at the same time, right?
That's because
it opens up different ways to interact with people and to have a sense of closeness, mm-hmm. even though the closeness is virtual.
True that, absolutely. And we have to. It took some time to wrap my head around it,
mm-hmm.
but then we've settled it. Actually, right now, I think it's going to be as for the job, yeah. right? Because I've been in teletravail, working from home.
Yep.
Mostly since May 2020. And it's like, I don't think there's going back full time in the office.
Right.
You see, that's one of the aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And for the family gatherings, I don't know if we're going to go back to indoor big gatherings. So we're looking forward to, you know, summer and, you know, warm mm-hmm. weather, so we can be outside. And we try to make the most of the times that we can create mm-hmm. that together. We create. And I found that we spoke more on the phone.
Wow.
During that period, because usually it's, okay, I drop by.
Right.
But now it's, okay, so we call, make sure to... You know, look up on each other, look out for whatever might be happening. Well, which we've always done.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just really taken, you see, as I talk about it, it's like, my goodness, it's been 2 years. And we have a feeling that it's been like forever now.
It feels like longer.
Much longer, right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, we keep our ears to the ground for what's happening elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Namely, Haiti, our beloved land.
Yep.
COVID hasn't stopped people from being stupid.
No, no.
Right?
No.
Or greedy, or egotistical. Anyways, it's a beautiful day. The sun is shining. We're here to talk about mothers.
Yeah.
So let us talk about mamas.
Yeah.
And shout out to my mama, Simone. The queen, the queen, l'impératrice.
L'impératrice, the empress.
The empress.
Wow.
That's it.
Amazing.
Yes, because I want the title queen.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't be queen, my mama queen. No, my mama is the empress.
Gotcha.
And we are the queens, and, you know, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
So to my mom, to my daughter, Ariane,
mm-hmm.
to my sisters, Mireille and Françoise, and I can't start naming the cousins because there's just too many of them. But everybody out there. That's it.
So,
yes, Kim.
All right, let's get into it. Let's get into it.
Let's jump.
Can you take us back to the first time you found out you were going to become a mom? And what were your feelings and how your family reacted?
Yes, hi. Woo!
That's a big one.
Okay, we have to understand first, I wasn't 18 quite. No, I had just turned 18.
Mm.
So we're summer 1975.
Wow.
And, how do I go into that? I've been trying to see how I can go about this without saying too much of what I shouldn't say. But I had, let's say that I had just been through a couple of very rough and rock and roll years.
Right.
And so my parents felt it would be good. We had family in New York, so they said, you know, go spend some time with your auntie there.
Mm-hmm.
And what wasn't supposed to happen, happened. You know?
What they were trying to protect you from ended up happening.
All kinds of stuff.
Right.
Namely that stuff. And, well, guess what? So I come back, and I can remember exactly where I was. So I was with my sister Mireille, And I'm telling her, you know, this is it, this is it. And she and Jerry, my brother Jerry, they were already involved with the Black Theater Workshop, and they were supposed to go to New York on a trip.
Yeah.
And she's like, you have to tell Mom and Dad before we leave. I want to be there when you tell them.
Right.
So, okay. So, we had just moved to the house. They are here. They're still living in. So I tell them I have something to tell you. And so I tell them, and en résumé, long story short, there was shock, disappointment, sadness, anger, all of this, understandably.
Yeah.
Right? And I was in a state of, I tried to put words to it since, I don't know if it was, it's not denial.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, well, this is it, and that's that.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's Mom and Dad and my sister, my brother, and the rest of the family and the community, because we were very close-knit community.
Yeah.
Much, much, much smaller, right, at the time. And so there were very mixed feelings, but as it almost always happens, as the pregnancy progressed, most everyone rallied around me, okay?
Yeah.
And when Max-Henri arrived, he was welcomed like a prince.
Mm.
Also, he was the first of his generation in the family and in the larger family and in the community.
Yeah, yeah.
And my parents turned gaga, especially my dad. So, and I don't remember... I have the mental picture. I don't remember that we actually took the picture of him, you know, so Max, he's lying down. He's like maybe 2 months old on the couch. And my dad is over him going, goo, 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 goo. So, yeah, that was it. And it was, this is it. That's it. That's what's happening. That's all.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I have an interesting story that involves your mom.
Okay.
Actually, because, okay, for everybody's benefit, Kim's mom and I were the same age. We're like a couple of days apart, 10 days apart or something like that. And we grew up together. We've known each other since we were 14, 15 years old.
Yeah.
And at that time, the time I was pregnant, your mom had taken up photography.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she came because I was living at my mom's, at my parents', and she came and said, okay, you know, I have to do a photo shoot
okay.
for you with the belly and everything. Because also, okay, the other thing is by among my peers, okay, the ones, everybody's like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my goodness. And they were all going crazy, crazy, crazy. Like, it's so exciting. You got a baby. You're so brave and everything.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think I was just crazy, but it's like, okay. And so we set a time for her to come and take the pictures.
Yeah.
It was a Sunday afternoon, and I had given birth on Sunday at 12:28.
Wow.
That's the date. So we didn't get to get the photo shoot. And I can never forget that I didn't get, and I don't have one single picture pregnant with Max-Henri. Mm. I have a drawing, because one of our friends, may she rest in peace, Claudette, had made a couple of drawings.
Okay.
But that's it. So the Tessa, my little prince, arrived March 14th, 1976 at 12:28. So this year he's 46.
Wow. He turned 46 this year.
Almost a month ago. And it's for the next couple of months. Our ages are what you say in Creole is revers, the reverse.
Okay.
So I'm 64.
Right.
He's 46. So for the name, so in Haiti, for people in the Haitian communities, for people who play, you know, bolette, the lottery.
Yeah.
When you play a number, very often they tell you, okay, you should play the reverse.
Yeah.
The reverse one. So anyways, it's a thing. When I realized, oh, he's turning 46 and I'm 64, how interesting. So anyways, that's that part of the story.
Wow. I'm very happy that his arrival caused a shift in the energy. Well, even though in the beginning it was a bit tumultuous because you know, people have expectations, their external expectations, you know, that they place on the younger generation is high. I'm glad that, you know, everybody came around in the end, because
absolutely.
I feel that a new life is always something worth celebrating. And
yes.
And it should not be celebrated alone by either parent. We do have to take a quick break. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, we are speaking to Maggie Metelus, who is a Haitiano-Québécoise mother, grandmother, militante Afro-feminist, and more. She is sharing with us the story of her motherhood, and we're going to go a little bit more into that right after the musical break. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Smaller. We say to girls, you can have ambition, but not too much. You should aim to be successful, but not too successful, otherwise you will threaten the man. Because I am female, I am expected to aspire to marriage. I'm expected to make my life choices, always keeping in mind that marriage is the most important. Now, marriage can be a source of joy and love and mutual support, but why do we teach girls to aspire to marriage?
There's a lot going on in the world today. See how it affects Montreal's Black and Caribbean community. Read the community contact. News, features, opinions, music reviews, cultural events, and so much more. Our voices, our perspectives, our community. Published every 2 weeks, pick it up at your favorite community spot or visit us online at our new and dynamic website, mtlcommunitycontact.com. Easy to navigate and lots to enjoy. Archived issues also on the site and available on the web. That's mtlcommunitycontact.com. Stay in contact.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we are continuing our series celebrating Black Mothers for the month of May. Once again, happy belated Mother's Day to those who celebrated this past Sunday, and happy future Mother's Day to those who will be celebrating at the end of the month. Especially Haitian mothers celebrate the last Sunday of May. And we can welcome back our guest, Maggie Metelus, who is a Haitiano-Québécoise mother, grandmother, militante afro-feminist, human rights advocate, diseuse, and animatrice. And I made a mistake earlier in my reading. My eyes got crossed. She now revels in her new status as a beloved elder. I said leader. No, that was an error. So she's now reveling her new status as a beloved elder in our community. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for your openness and sharing. I really, really enjoyed hearing the story of the birth of Max Henri. We became friends as well, and he has counseled me through some hard times on my part. And we used to even go running together, get up very early in the morning and go running together. So me and him have that connection together. To continue on the stream of talking about motherhood, you are a grandmother as well. You welcomed your sixth grandchild.
Exactly.
This year. So tell us, what is the difference between like becoming a mother and then becoming a grandmother?
Okay, do you have a couple of hours?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
We'll have to cut you off before the end of the show.
I tell my kids that this is the most glorious thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how do they say that? First things first, I am a much better grandmother than I was a mother.
Mm.
And I actually became a better mother once I became a grandmother.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It is really mind-boggling to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very funny because already Max Henri used to tell his sister, you know, you and I, we don't have the same mom. Because he constantly told her, your mother is so different than the mother I had when I was your age. So when she was much, much younger.
Yeah.
And indeed, because it's almost 10 years between the two of them. So I'm in a different mindset. I'm in a different space. And things have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so I accept the fact that it is true that I was not the same when I gave birth to Max Henri as when I gave birth to Ariane.
Yeah.
Jump 20 years later, I become a grandmother.
Mm.
And you see, I can remember maybe 10 years before that, the first friend that we had that became a grandmother. So I can see, I meet her in Outremont, $20 de vol de femme a pris.
Yeah.
And she's telling me, you know, that she's a grandmother. And everything about her was so fantabulous.
Mm.
And I could feel what she was feeling, but no, I couldn't feel it inside.
Mm-hmm.
But I could grasp, you see, what she was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then I became a grandmother.
Mm.
Okay, so what I like to tell people is when you become a grandparent, anyways, a grandmother in my case, there are some, okay, les neurones, how do you say that in English?
The neurons.
The neurons, okay, brain matter, that just take a leave, you know, they just leave you.
Okay.
Oh yeah, they just say, okay, I'm gone now, you had me for so many years, now I'm gone, you're on your own. Because
mm-hmm.
it's gaga.
Mm-hmm.
It's just gaga nation. I know I said it about my parents, and so it was my turn to experience that.
Right.
And so one of the funny stories. So I go shopping with my son because my grandkids are coming over. So, I didn't say that. One of the very, very, very trying things about this COVID situation,
mm-hmm.
no sleepovers with my kids for the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Because I had regular sleepovers. And when it's sleepovers, it's a couple of days.
Yeah.
And so everybody's with me and everything anyways.
Yeah.
So when I'm getting ready to have them over, I have my list. I have days of preparation. Because while they're there, I don't want to be bothered with knowing what I'm going to cook. Do I have to go out? None of that. So I have to have everything. So yeah. My son takes me shopping. Mm-hmm. We're at the grocery store. And I'm saying, okay, this one likes this type of bread and that one likes that other type. And he tells me, wait up. I don't understand this. I don't understand what's going on. Because when my sister and I were kids, it's like whatever's there, that's what you're going to eat.
Yeah.
How come it's all this fussiness? I said, well, that's the privilege of being a grandmother.
Mm.
So to me, being a grandmother, it's all privileges. And I used to tell my kids, thank you so much for allowing me to have the kid, grandkids, your kids. And they look at me like, what's wrong with you? I said, but you're entrusting me with your children. Mm-hmm. I said, well, didn't you raise us? What's the big deal?
Wow.
And it's, yes, I understand, but this is a big deal to me.
Yeah.
That you trust me with your kid. And they say, okay, we'll just let you be. Whatever works for you, it's okay. But this is really what I truly, profoundly feel.
Yeah.
It is such a blessing. And I think about, so I had one of my aunts in particular. So when I turned 60, I remember saying, okay, I'm going to celebrate for all of the women in my life that did not get to be 60.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking of one aunt in particular who did not get to see her grandkid.
Wow.
So to me, do I make it clear to you that being a grandmother is like something amazing to me?
Yeah, it's pretty clear. It's coming through.
Coming through.
Yeah.
So it's being a grandma and having the joy of being with your grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because being a grandmother is one thing, being able to be with them. And another weird thing about the COVID situation is that we live literally 10 minutes by bus from them.
Right.
And I did not get to see or hold my last granddaughter before 6 months or so.
Right.
And it's like, and then you know what that made me think of? That was the reality for my maternal grandmother.
Mm.
And that was the reality for my mother.
Mm.
So when I was born, okay, I'm going to say it, in the States.
Mm-hmm.
My grandparents were in Haiti.
Mm.
So for the first 6 months of my life, 6 or 7 months, because I went to Haiti to be with my grandparents.
Right.
My grandmother did not see me.
Wow.
My brothers, they had their kids abroad, one in Germany, one in Vegas. So my mother did not get to see or hold her grandkids from them before a long time.
Right.
And it's with this COVID, I was living the same thing, except that I'm not only in the same country, I'm in the same city.
You're not only in the same city, you're in the same neighborhood.
Neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
So that was, and you know, it makes you put everything in perspective.
Yep.
It's okay. So what are the dramas? There are real dramas in life.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to talk to myself and say, Maggie, this is not a drama.
Mm.
There's nothing dramatic about it.
Yeah.
It is sad. It might even be painful, but there is nothing dramatic about this.
No.
You will get to see her. You can see her on Zoom and WhatsApp video and all that.
Yeah.
So this is not dramatic.
Mm.
But so, yeah. So I love being a grandmother.
So let me ask you this, because you have... well, your grandchildren have a privilege that a lot of other grandchildren don't have, which is they have their great-grandparents.
Absolutely.
You know? Yes. So can you speak to that experience of, like, seeing your mother, and even, yes, we can include your father as well.
Absolutely.
What was that experience like, watching, like, this is four generations of the family? How was that?
This... And you see, one of the true blessings that we have in the family is that we are grateful, mm-hmm. and we can acknowledge how blessed we are. And actually, both my son and my daughter regularly say how amazing it was. I don't remember which one of the two, no, both of them at different moments spoke to the fact that before COVID, we were at the kitchen table, around the table, the four generations.
Wow.
And we are talking and we are reciting Les Fables de La Fontaine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So my father and mother, myself, and I don't remember if my sister was there, Mireille, my kids, and their older kids.
Wow.
All of us are reciting the same text. And we stop and pause and acknowledge how fantabulous this is.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for bringing that up, the blessing that is four generations being able to gather. So, and you know, like sometimes when people ask me where I come from,
mm-hmm.
if I don't like what is intended in your question, I tell you I come from Outremont.
Right.
And you're going to say, what? I said, let me tell you something. We arrived in Outremont May 1st, 1968.
Mm.
My parents have been in the same house since 1975.
Wow.
My children and my nephews and nieces, my grandkids and my, you know, grandnephews
mm-hmm.
learned to walk in the same steps,
wow.
in the same hallway. My kids went to the same schools that I went to. Now my grandchildren
are going to the same
school. Going to the same school.
Wow.
So don't you come and tell me where I come from. If I please. Anyways, I don't allow anybody to define me.
Yeah.
That is something that I understood very early on in life and that I tried to convey to my children. Do not let people define you. You decide. You see, I decide that my identity is Haitiano-Québécoise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't allow Haitian people to tell me, you're not Haitian. You haven't been a Haitian like in forever. And I don't allow Quebecois people to tell me I'm not Quebecois because I'm telling you this is who I am.
Yeah.
Anyways, I digress.
No, that's not a digression. That is no. That is the point.
It's a testimony to how my parents raised us
mm-hmm.
To be proud, to be humble at the same time.
Mm.
Okay? You don't look down on people. You respect people.
Yeah.
And you make people respect you.
Yeah.
And I trust that my kids learned that and that they're transmitting the same thing mm-hmm. to their kids. And it is not easy to navigate.
No.
But you have to be grounded and rooted. And gratefulness, gratitude forever to my parents who kept us, all of us, rooted in the Haitian culture.
Yes.
I gloat about it. Okay, that we're a perfect example of quote-unquote integration mm-hmm. in this community.
Yes.
Because we know so deeply where we're coming from.
Yeah.
And we know so profoundly where we are and that this is our place.
Yeah.
And ain't nobody gonna come and tell me otherwise. We belong.
Yeah, 100%.
We belong. And let's remember that my parents' generation, mm-hmm. they were among the first Haitians coming here. You know, they were, you know, individual Haitians over the decades
yeah.
that preceded 1965. But as an important group,
yeah.
they were among the first. And they called on my dad to come because they were lacking teachers here
okay.
in Quebec. So they were looking for French-speaking teachers from outside. And, you know, and Haiti was kind of a natural fit.
Right.
So a friend of my dad who had a job here called him in New York, to say, you know, they're looking, come. He came, had the interview, got the job, came back, settled, and then, you know, moved us back in here.
Yeah.
And this is how we made our, nous avons fait notre place.
Yeah.
We made our place. Kim, I'm talking too much. You got
to
stop.
No, listen, there's no need to talk too much. One of the things that I've been thinking about is, like, ever since I became a father, and I think about, like, the multi generations, and I'm like, you know, I became a father at almost 40 years old.
Okay.
And you know, I think about what it would be like to become a grandfather and what age I could potentially become a grandfather at, and then, you know, now looking at you and being like, oh wow, great grandparenthood, what that would be like. And I always say to myself that if my child, my son, ever comes to me and says, you know, Dad, I at 16, 17, 18, whatever, Dad, my girlfriend and I are pregnant, I want my reaction to be, you can live at my house. Yeah. You can come and stay with me.
Yeah.
Because to me, the importance of family, like my grandmother, who you know very well,
absolutely,
told me once, si toute petite moi a besoin vin la kay moi, retenant salon, c'est ça.
Yeah.
If all of my children need to live in the living room in my one bedroom apartment, my 3.5, that's what's going to happen. And that stuck with me. And it's like, I don't understand this new generation of grandparents, younger grandparents who are like, don't bring the kids around. I've done my job. I'm finished. It boggles my mind that is even a thought in their minds, you know, because who better than you to help raise the kids, because you have the benefit of experience, you know, and who's to say you can't, like, okay, you want to go on your trips, you must, like, if you can go on a trip, take the grandkids with you. It's less expensive to take them when they're younger. I don't know, I just have a different way of looking at this idea of becoming a grandparent, and people tell me, oh, you don't know, and I'm like, no, I know who I am in my core, and I know how I want to react and how I will react.
That's it. And granted, it is more difficult in certain situations, right, to truly not only welcome the child but offer support, because some situations are very complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But I am blessed to be in a situation where I can do that with my kids and grandkids.
Yeah.
And I wish for you the same.
Yes.
Because it is truly the most amazing. Did I say that before? It is the most amazing feel. And so imagine, so my parents becoming great grandparents.
Mm.
And so multiply the gagatude, okay? Exponentially.
Yes.
It's, oh yeah. Yes. And one of the hardest things, especially for my mom, is not being able to see the little ones.
Yeah.
And have them. So because they have that bond with my parents, right? Mm-hmm. And going over and hugging and kissing and blah, blah, blah. And that hasn't been happening. But God willing, soon, we're going to be able to be together again outside, and we're going to be able to live all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. I can already see you, Grandpa.
Well, I got some gray in my beard already, so.
No, but it's very funny to say, because you're barely a dad right now, right? You're a new, you can still say a new dad for years.
Yeah.
But I can already, I like what I'm saying. I like what I'm saying. Oh, that's going to be great. Yes. So you mentioned your grandmother, and yes, it's important to know that our families go back way, way back, and like tight. I was, I did my first audio recording, and so it was on a 33 tour. How do you say that?
A record.
1972 or 73.
Yeah.
At your grandma's house.
Wow.
And it was with the late Ali Maurice André. Mm-hmm. Now late Adeline Perigord, who passed away a couple of months ago, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. She was very close with your mom's acting.
Yes, yes.
So it was a piece, you know, a work that your grandmother and Franck Fouché,
yep,
grandpa, mm-hmm, wrote. And so, and Mireille and I and Raymond and Adeline and Ali, we read it, we acted it and recorded it.
Yeah.
So that's way back. And Mireille worked many times again with Jacqueline,
yes,
over the years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we liked her. We loved her. Yes. Wow.
Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Maggie Metelus. And she is using her role as Diseuse to take us back in time. Diseuse is storyteller in English, to take us back in time and share with us her story as a mother and as a grandmother. And even today in time, because mm-hmm, her grandmotherhood started just over a decade ago and is continuing. It just happened once again last year or the year before.
Yes, last year. Mm-hmm.
Last year. We do have to take a quick break and play some music and pay some bills. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. I can't tell where mine is. Brown skin up against my brown skin. Need some every now and then. People from maybe Mississippi or Ireland. Apparently your skin has been kissed by the sun. You make me want a Hershey's kiss, your licorice. Every time I see your lips, it makes me think of honey-coated chocolate. Your kisses are worth more than gold to me. I'll be your almond joy, you'll be my sugar daddy. Brown skin, you know I love your brown skin. I can't tell where yours begins. I can't tell where mine is. Brown skin, up against my brown skin. Need some every now and then. Something magnetic pulls me and I can't get out. Disoriented, I can't tell my up from down. All I know is that I wanna lay you down. Every time I let you in, abracadabra magic happens as we swim. Higher and higher, finally we reach heaven. Come back to earth.
Touched my belly, overwhelmed by what I had been chosen to perform. But then an angel came one day, told me to kneel down and pray, for unto me a man-child would be born. Oh, this crazy circumstance, I knew his life deserved a chance, but everybody told me to be smart. Look at your career, they said, Lauren, baby, use your head. But instead I chose to use my heart. Now the joy of my world is in Zion. Nothing more than to
way to tie his door. I've never been in love like this before. Now let me pray to keep you from the perils that will surely come. See, life for you, my prince, has just begun. And I thank you for choosing me to come through on your life to be a beautiful reflection of his grace. See, I know that a gift so great is only one God could create. And I'm reminded every time I see your face that the joy of my world is in Zion. Now the joy of my world is in Zion.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and this is our continuation of the series celebrating Black Mothers for the month of May. Once again, happy belated Mother's Day to those who celebrated this past Sunday, and happy future Mother's Day, especially to the Haitian mothers who will be celebrating on the last Sunday of May. We have with us Maggie Metelus, who is the co-founder of the Lecture Logos Readings with H. Nigel Thomas and the late Horace I. Goddard. Over the past 20 years, she has become a staple in the community and now revels in her new status as a beloved elder. Maggie, thank you so much for sharing your story, of how you became a very young mother, considering the times, at 18, 19 years old, and then becoming a grandmother, and then how, you know, you still have your parents and your grandchildren have their parents. So there's four generations of Metelusises.
That's right. That's right.
So I wonder, what are things that you have learned about motherhood, and has your perspective changed over time?
Ooh, so I had everything to learn about motherhood, and I'm still learning so much. And yes, the short answer is yes, the perspective changed over time. But one thing that has not changed, so the understanding, it took me a long time to understand what motherhood was.
Okay.
To understand how to be a mother.
Yeah.
I was not bare 19, 18 and three quarters.
Yeah.
Thought that I knew everything. So I remember one of my dear aunts who told me, okay, you are a mother now. And I'm looking at her like, so? And I didn't understand. And then she went on to say, but I was stupid. I was foolish. Mm-hmm. I was oblivious to so many realities. Like, it's a shame. But anyway, you know, I made up for it, I think. Eventually. So I did not enter motherhood with a clear comprehension, even of the basics, day-to-day caring for my son.
Right.
It was a challenge.
Yeah.
Because I was just like sort of going through motions, but there was no thought reflection.
Gotcha. You see. Gotcha.
Actually, it was just impulse. Thank God I was living at my mom and dad.
Yeah.
And my grandmother, so my maternal grandmother was there.
Wow.
Okay, so we had that four generations. So I was blessed to have that four generations.
Yeah.
Because my father's parents died within 6 months of each other when he was 19.
Wow.
And he became head of the family.
Wow.
At 19. So that's another story, because I'm in awe. Every time I think about this, I'm in awe of this man's accomplishments.
Yeah.
And my mom's also. And so, and my maternal grandparents, I was raised with them for the first 7 years of my life. And grandpa did not get to come to Montreal. He passed in 68, actually. But grandmother came, and so she lived with us. So she lived with in our house for a while, then with other of her kids, and then she finally moved on her own. Mm-hmm. So anyways, at the time I gave birth, grandmother was there.
Right.
So, and okay, I have to tell this story.
Okay.
At the time that I have, so I gave birth in March 76, around September, October 75, there was a horrendous news circulating about this parent who had killed their newborn.
Wow.
Maybe it was 3 or 4 months old, I don't know. The child was crying. They just put a pillow on the child's face just to make it, just not to hear the crying anymore.
Yeah.
And of course you read that and you are repulsed and saying, how on earth can you do that?
Yeah.
Fast forward. So I am 19 years old. I have a new baby. I am in my parents' house. I don't got no bill I'm paying.
Mm.
Food is cooked for me. My grandma is there too.
Yeah.
I remember one day my son was crying.
And no matter what you do.
I am living in the most perfect, cushy situation.
Yeah.
And it dawned on, at that second, that realization that, okay, I never had that impulse because I did not have the level of anxiety that it took. It was just, oh, okay, baby, okay.
Yeah.
And if I couldn't hold him, I could tell my grandmother, Mama Tapi, Kabel Fumwe. And at that second, I said, imagine someone who is alone with a child. The bills are piling up. You have all the anxieties of not knowing this and not knowing that. And on top of it all, you have a child who is crying. And you think you've done, I changed your diaper. I fed you. I rocked you. What else can I do?
Yeah.
At that second, and I don't think I will ever forget that second in my life. When I realized at the same time how blessed I was and how easy it would be if things were different.
Yeah.
To snap.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and that was one of, you know, there are some defining moments in life, so many of them, to stop judging. We were raised not to judge, but you have to experience it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is one instance where it's like, you know what? Don't pass no judgment on nobody.
No.
Because you don't know what the person is going through.
Yeah.
Okay, so motherhood and change. So I often say, I have said it often, and I will say it often again, my son raised me.
Wow.
And he knows that.
That is so interesting because a lot of people and cultures and when I explore, you know, parenting, like a lot of people want to own their parents, and I say that I belong to my son. My son does not belong to me. Mm. In the sense of I am here to serve him until he is of the age and the strength that he will either serve others or in turn maybe have to serve me because I get old and I need his support. But the way my mind works is I'm doing everything for him and he's teaching me what I need to know in order to become a better parent.
Absolutely. But yeah. That's exactly it. And Maxwell, he was wise beyond his years. Okay. Very, very dear. Always been. Well, I guess with the mom like I was, he had to have the smarts.
Yeah.
I was like, bah, all over the place. So he adjusted. And I always say he raised me. And so we laugh about one of the instances, you know, having, when you say things to kids, usually when you're giving orders to a child, and the order just doesn't make sense.
Right.
So one typical one, he's like 6 or 7. So we're talking, and he used to talk a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And when I said, okay, I'll give two examples. And at one point I said, Maxahi, I don't want to listen to you anymore.
Okay?
So he goes to his room. He comes back maybe half an hour later. He starts back at the point that he was at.
Wow.
He tells me the rest of the things that he wanted to tell me. And then he tells me, okay, I'm done now.
Wow.
So I'm sitting there and it's like, okay, I can't fault you for this. I mean, you're absolutely right. Or me saying, Maxari, I'm tired. Please go to bed. And he looks at me and he says, I don't understand, Mom.
Mm.
How come you're tired and I'm the one who has to go to bed?
He's right.
Hello? Hello? You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. You tell a child, I'm tired, you go to bed. No, no, you're tired, you go to bed.
Yeah.
Right? And you know what? I found that saying on a, you see, some postcards.
You're right, yeah.
And it is, pourquoi quand maman est fatiguée, c'est moi qui dois aller me coucher.
Mm.
Exactly that. Why is it that when mom is tired, I'm the one who has to go to bed?
Right.
So these are two light moments. When I say he forced me to realizations and to, you know, it's like, woman, you got to make sense because right now you're not making any sense.
Wow.
Yeah. And not, of course, not in those words and very politely. And my son, my brother Jerry had told me years ago that one of the gifts that I gave my kids was the gift of garb, of saying, speaking, telling me the things. And it was, you can tell me anything you want. You better watch how you're telling me, though.
Yeah.
And sometimes I will understand that it comes out in any way or form.
Yeah.
But let us try to be, you know, to have a proper form and format and respect.
Yeah.
But I will also understand that you go overboard. Because my mom, okay, another fun story, yelled. I'm a screamer. I yell. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not yelling necessarily at people, but I would, at one point, I have to let out a huge cry, a scream.
Yeah.
And it goes back, and that's on my mother. I remember I was 15 or 16 years old. And I'm sitting there just for nothing. I said, I feel like screaming. And she tells me, scream. Child, you feel like screaming, scream.
Right.
And we would have, so Max, Ari, and Ariane both went through that. Do forgive me for that, kids.
Mm.
We had screaming sessions, my mom and I.
Wow.
So we're in the basement of the house. And it's like, you know what would feel really good right now? A good screaming scream. Session.
Wow.
And the other one would say, yeah, that would be good. So on the count of three, one, two, three, and we just let out big scream. And each at that turn, so Max, when he was a child, almost a baby, and Ariane went through the same thing, and they just jump and don't understand, but it was, and it's okay, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like crying, it's okay to cry. If you feel like screaming, it's okay to scream.
Yeah.
And even where at my work, people know that. That will happen once every 3 months.
Okay.
There will be a moment where you will hear me scream.
Yeah.
I will just let out a scream. And so the coworkers who know the drill, they tell the other ones, it's okay, it's okay.
Don't go running.
There's nobody in there. Everything is under control.
Yeah.
It's like 3 seconds. So after I finish performing in whatever capacity, very often, if it has taken a lot on me, I will let out a scream.
Let it out.
So all that to say, it's expressing yourself, finding the way that to express what you're feeling, if it's with words, if it's with a scream or any other form.
Mm-hmm.
But and motherhood, of course, forces us to look at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't no fun.
No. Looking at yourself is like, it's almost the worst thing you can do because you can't hide. When you look at yourself in the mirror, you can't hide.
You can't hide.
If there's a flaw, you're going to see it.
You have to.
Which is why a lot of people don't like therapy, because it forces you to face your inner demons and the things that make you unhappy. I love that you had that... had that routine that you developed with your mother. I remember when I used to be the coordinator of camp, and we had 15, 30, 20, 30 kids that we were taking on the bus or the metro to go somewhere. And I remember at one point I started doing a thing with them where I was like, okay, we're about to get on the bus. You can scream now. And we do a countdown and they scream. And when we get on that bus, everybody just relax.
Because wonderful.
And we did this big scream, and like the people who didn't hear me telling the kids turn around and they look, and one person turned around and said, thank you. Thank you. Like they understood what we were doing, because that there's always like a buildup of energy, and you need to be able to release that in some way.
Absolutely.
Especially with children, you know, you have to find a way to give them an outlet for the energy. And sometimes screaming is a good thing, especially if they love to, if they have the gift of gab, you know, the buildup of pressure can be let off with a scream.
Yes.
Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Maggie Metelus as part of our celebration of Black Mothers for the month of May. She is regaling us with different stories about how motherhood has changed over time for her, all the way back to the first time her first child was born. We have to take a quick break and pay some bills, play some music. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Break, don't let it keep you down.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and you are joining us in our celebration of Black Mothers for the month of May. We have with us Maggie Metelus, who is an Haitiano-Québécoise mother, grandmother, militante afro-féministe, human rights advocate, diseuse, and animatrice. In May 2016, she co-founded the Lectures Logos Readings with H. Nigel Thomas and the late Horace I. Goddard. Over the past 20 years, she has become a staple in the community, and she now revels in her new status as a beloved elder. Maggie, thank you so much for sharing all of your stories with us, for being vulnerable with us, for being open with us. And this is our last segment for the evening, but I would be remiss to not ask you, how conscientious were you when you were becoming a mother as a Black woman? How conscientious were you of your Blackness when you were becoming a mother? Did that affect your perspectives, your hopes for your children, and now as a grandmother?
This is a very, very powerful question. And I must say that consciousness is much more, is acute a word? Aigu?
Yeah, yeah.
Aigu?
It's much sharper now.
Sharper, mm-hmm. Yes. As a grandmother.
Wow.
Than it was when I was a mother. So, of course, and it's not, it wasn't being in a state of denial or anything, and I was already very involved in all kinds of activities.
Yeah.
But it was just a feeling, and I do say it was a feeling that it, of safety.
Right.
Okay, so there wasn't, how do I'm trying to say what I'm living as a grandmother has very little to do to how it was for me as a mother.
Okay.
And I think it's true for grandparents. Every other generation, it becomes, you are more and more attuned, you are more anxious, worried, maybe more vulnerable, maybe feeling that you have less grasp on things that kids are going through. I don't know how to explain it, but I am much, it is much more present to me, the realities of my grandkids being Black kids.
Right.
In a white, predominantly white society.
Wow.
And I believe that for my children growing up, when they became parents, it became more obvious also to them,
okay,
the realities. They were more not connected. They've always been connected.
Right.
But the things, it changes because it's not only you, it's the other one, and now it's the third generation.
Yeah.
And as with my children, I believe, not with Max Xavier when he was growing up until 10, 12, or with Achian very, very young.
Yeah.
But at one point, so around the time that Baxai became a teenager,
yeah,
and stuff, it became, okay, you are a Black person, not in the sense, and I don't fault the parents who used to say, you know, as a Black person, you have to work 10 times harder. It wasn't in that, because to me, it was always, we belong here.
Right.
We belong here.
Yeah.
So we do what we want to do, what we have to do. Mm-hmm. We belong here. We don't have to prove to X,
anybody.
Y, Z that we're, no, we don't have to prove to anybody. We have to prove to ourselves.
Right.
What, how the best versions of ourselves that we can be.
Right.
And it's true that we were in a privileged setting. We grew up in Outremont.
Yeah.
In the 80s. 70s, 80s. Mm-hmm. And so the realities were not the same. And of course, we knew of things. We were not directly affected. So it was always from a perspective of being a citizen, a responsible citizen who is aware of the things that are happening, even if they're not happening to me.
Wow.
And that's the reality, I think, that we were raised in and that my kids were raised in.
Okay.
Now, for the grandchildren, it maybe hits closer to home in certain situations.
Okay.
And actually, who was I telling that? I feel like setting up a sort of association of the grand, you know, they have the raging grannies.
Okay.
Who are opposed to the war. Okay. Oh, yeah, they are phenomenal. Please do look them up. Raging grannies.
Wow.
So I've known them for the 20 odd years since, you know, there was the threat of war and then the war on Iraq,
right,
by the United States. So I'm part of the Collectif Échec à la Guerre, who was formed to protest against that. And you have that group, the Raging Grannies, that still goes strong. So I would like to form something like that, but in protection of our grandbabies.
Yeah.
Because for all kinds of reasons, they are exposed to so much. That's the other thing. So when my kids were growing up, there was not the internet.
Right.
Okay. There wasn't remote control or barely.
Right.
We didn't have cable for the longest time.
Yeah.
So everything was controlled. Now, exposed
to everything.
Everything, the good like the horrible.
Yeah.
So you have to...
And the access is really prolific. Like, even if you decide, okay, I'm not going to have any computers, any electronics in the house, once they step outside,
they go to school,
they're going to have a friend who's going to have it.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's it? So the realities that they are exposed to are much, much different. And, I don't want to get emotional about this.
Mm.
But, hats off to the parents raising Black kids in a predominantly white society in this time and in this day and age.
Yeah.
Hats off. And we need, you see, as a grandmother, and actually I'm going to write it down because I've been talking about it. So now I have spoken it on the air.
Yeah.
I have to make it happen.
Yeah. Gotta be about it.
I have to make it happen.
Thought, word, deed, action.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah.
We have to get together. I don't know what form it's going to take. I don't know exactly what we can concretely do.
Mm-hmm.
But we have, and you see, another thing, and that's what I tell my kids. As long as I'm here, it's because I have something to contribute.
Yeah, yeah.
And the first people my contribution is for, it's my parents, my kids, my grandkids.
Yeah.
And of course, the rest of the extended, and then beyond the larger community, I'm very involved in everything. And I tell them, so you see, I cut down on the days that I work.
Yeah.
I took a retraite progressive.
Okay. Progressive retirement, yeah.
Yeah, so to be available for my grandkids.
Mm.
Because, and it's, to me, it is, you are, this is what you're here for.
Yeah.
You're still alive.
Yeah.
You're healthy. You are able.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the reason why.
And I feel like for our elders, because I've done readings about African culture and families and how all of that works, and one of the interesting things that I had read is that in certain cultures back on the continent, I don't remember the specific countries or the subsets of the countries, but there's certain cultures whereby the children have children, and the children leave their children with the grandparents so that they can go and become adults, and then they come back to finish raising their children to then become grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's always seen as an honor and as a privilege to be a grandparent, which is why I think for me in my head that I don't think I ever was of the mindset of if I have children, then, you know, and they have children, then they would have to take care of their children. But it definitely solidified it in my mind that if my, whatever age my child has children at, I am 100% behind them. Doesn't matter. Doesn't even if he's 13, 14, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, Will would have liked to wait a little bit longer, but you know what? I get to have fun because I'm going to be grandpa, you know? And that's fine. If that's not someone else's jive, then that's not what their jive. What is... If you were to meet a new mother today,
mm-hmm.
what is a few tips, a few advice that you would want to share with them?
Mm-hmm. Sleep when the baby sleeps. First, you know?
Facts.
Serious. I'm serious. I remember when I had Ariane, and so I wanted to keep her in the room, and the nurse tells me, you know what? She's going to be with you as soon as you leave the hospital all the time. Mm-hmm. She sleep, you sleep.
Yeah.
Seriously, because usually for new moms, on the pratico-pratique, the day-to-day, the concrete mm-hmm. things, it's like, okay, while baby is sleeping, I'm going to attend to this and that. No, boo-boo. I'm telling you, the first, you see, it is the very first thing. Baby sleep, you sleep.
Yeah.
And you will have the energy to do what it is that you have to do. What I wish for moms is that they know themselves. They, if they don't quite, because we don't really completely know ourselves.
Right.
But know enough of what your values are, core values are. Mm-hmm. So that you can stand on that and rely on that to know how to raise your child.
Yeah.
I wish you to be surrounded with love.
Hmm.
If not family, blood family love, chosen family love.
Yeah.
Community.
Yes.
Because, and it's not to say it takes a village, you know, what they have. What they turned into something that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot do it alone.
Mm.
You cannot.
Yeah.
And that superwoman thing that they're trying to sell you, stay away from it, please. Run for it. There is no superwoman dealing here.
Right.
You cannot do this alone. Choose if you don't, as I repeat myself, if it's not blood, it's chosen family, chosen kin. Try to create a community around you so that you're not alone, having to raise, having to face situations and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And love. Follow your heart. Your heart is never wrong. And please allow your baby to raise you. Allow your baby to tell you what they need.
Yeah.
And accept, be humble enough to accept that you don't know everything. You don't know everything. You're learning, and allow yourself to grow as you raise your kids. I think that's the most beautiful thing you can do.
I think that is a beautiful way to end the show.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie, thank you so much for the privilege that you have imparted on myself and the people who are listening out there in the universe. Because a lot of what you said is like, people don't hear these stories, you know? Mm. And to me, these stories are important. These perspectives are important. And, it's a privilege for me to be able to capture this and for us to be able to listen to it. So thank you so much for your vulnerability, your honesty, your perspective.
Thank you, Kim. It is a privilege to be, It, at the beginning, it's really truly a privilege and a blessing to have been able to share those precious moments with you, really.
Thank you.
And you forced me to think about things, and I took the resolution. There are going to be grandmothers out there getting together to protect their grandkids.
Mm.
It has to happen.
So you'll be coming back to us when you have that form. Thank you so much once again.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have been speaking to Maggie Metelus, Haitiano-Québécoise, mother, grandmother, militante afro-féministe, human rights advocate, diseuse, and animatrice. She now revels in her new status as a beloved elder. Thank you all for joining us. We're going to be continuing this series next week and the week after that. But you got to tune in every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8:30 here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and you have been listening to Soul Perspectives. Have a good night.
Every light that fades, something beautiful remains. We are living in a world of stars and dust, between heaven and all that surrounds us. We're travelers here, spirits passing through, and the love we give is all that we'll endure. Hey now, what we had is gone, but I still remember you, just like a rose after the rain. Something
Caribbean cuisine for the best in Caribbean dishes. Come visit us and enjoy our specialties such as oxtail, jerk chicken, roti, and many more. Ask about our $8 lunch special on any chicken plates from Tuesdays to Fridays, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Also try our famous crispy fried chicken dipped in our special barbecue sauce. You can order online through your preferred restaurant apps or call 514-365-3636 or enjoy a 10% discount on all in-store pickup. This don't apply to promotions. We are located at 334 Saint Jacques in Lachine. Visit us today. One Stop Caribbean Cuisine, Chef X, new location.
Blessing up a flow like a river. Blessing up a flow like a river.
Listen to your
KUT Radio 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Baby presents a Victoria Weekend Barbecue. Saturday, May 21st, noon till 8 p.m. at Mackenzie King Park, corner of Côte Saint-Catherine and Westbury. On the menu, pork and chicken, barbecue, jerk and roti. Curry goat, saltfish, breadfruit and saltfish. Also sides, homemade juices and sweet treats. All plates, $15 or less. So come on out and enjoy the outside with Fabi and the crew. Music by DJ Jason. Saturday, May 21st at Mackenzie King Park.
You know, it's the boy Dash all the way from Grenada and they tune in to C-Cut 90.3 FM.
Hi everybody, listening to the Romanian radio show in Montreal, Marca Ro. ascultați emisiunea de radio Marcaro pe 90,3 FM CKUT.
Vino lângă mine. Noi n-am ales, tu și eu doi reveli în univers. Când ne întâlnim aprindem stelele, să coloreze toate nopțile.